Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I'm the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, look around you, the one world religion of Chrislam, as described in your King James Bible, is assembling right now. The other day, we brought you a stunning, exclusive story on the amazing amount of progress so far in the Abrahamic family house being built in Abu Dhabi. As most of you know, this will be the headquarters for the One World Religion being put together by Pope Francis in Rome and Mohammed bin Zayed in the UAE. Funny thing, when you look into your Bible for the end times, the two main characters are somebody called the Assyrian and a place called Mystery Babylon. Revelation 13, verses 4 and 5 say, "And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we show you the entire panoply of the one world religion of Chrislam, that is going to be the global church of the end times. The tribulation saints will not be part of it. They will be the outcasts who refuse the mark of the beast and remain locked outside the economic and financial system. In your King James Bible, you will see three important things to keep in mind as we study this part of prophecy. The first thing is that the Antichrist is half Jewish and half Muslim. The second thing is that Revelation 17 and 18 show you the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican, respectively. And that shows you that, thirdly, the one world religion is a tripartite creation composed of Judaism, Islam, and Roman Catholicism. Look around you right now. Is there anywhere in the world that you see these things coming together? That's a trick question. Don't answer it. And we're glad that you've decided to join us for this live NTEB Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here. And Father God, we commit this time to you. We ask you to lead and guide as only you can. And Lord, we know that we're living in the end times. There is no doubt about it. And we come before you, Lord, and we need you to show us the way forward and show us the way through. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory and the thanks and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you are here tonight. I am so excited about tonight's Bible study. It's funny. The last couple of weeks of podcasts, I have been kind of doing the podcasts like a Bible study, and we have had a lot of Bible study with our podcasts. Tonight, we are going to do a Bible study like a podcast. Not a podcast like a Bible study, but a Bible study like a podcast. And I'm going to show you things that are happening all around you. And then I'm going to show you where in the Bible these things are mentioned. And you're going to see how close we are to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And it's stunning to me where we are. We did an article yesterday called Photos Show Construction on the Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi of the One World Religion of Chrislam is now nearing completion. And Samantha went on the dark web and she got us some great pictures. exclusive pictures that you won't see anywhere else, but now the end begins. And in those photos, you see that the Abrahamic family house is almost completed. And it is going to open before the end of the year. And it is going to be the headquarters for the One World Religion of Chrislam. And every time that I mention that, I usually get a handful of people who tell me that the Bible doesn't mention anything about Chrislam. Well, of course, the word Chrislam is not in the Bible. That's a word that we made up. But what Chrislam represents is absolutely 100% in your King James Bible. And so tonight, we're going to go back and forth between what the Bible says is going to happen in the end times, and we're going to go to the news, and I'm going to show you that these things are happening right now. They are happening right now. And it is an exciting, if you're saved, it's a very exciting time to be alive. We are absolutely living in Bible times, and it is, if we had a clock that showed us how close that we were to the rapture, we would literally have to set the hands of that clock just a couple of seconds before midnight. We are almost out of here, and tonight's Bible study is going to show you just how close we are to getting out of here. Very, very glad that you've decided to join us tonight.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children. I see prophecies fulfilling, the signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call these children.
at the midnight cry. When Jesus comes again, at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again.
The singers are tired. The church, as we know it, is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on. 'Cause it's just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. Every struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all. If it rescues just one more soul. So preachers keep preaching, and singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle.
Amen. Just one more soul. If you're just tuning in, tonight's Bible study is on the One World Religion of Chrislam, and we're going to show you from the Bible and from your newspaper just how close you really are to the rapture of the church taking place. And we're going to talk about all that tonight. We have a lot going on, and I hope you guys have been having a good week. We have been making a lot of changes at the bookstore. And if you haven't visited the bookstore in a while, we invite you to come out and see what's new. We're building all sorts of new shelving. We're adding much, much more product. And we're already moving things around and rearranging things. And it is just, the Lord is just bringing in people on a daily basis. And people walking in to ship a package, and they don't realize that they're in the middle of a King James Bible bookstore. And it surprises quite a lot of people. And the Lord is really blessing our ministry there, and he's blessing our efforts, and he's giving us a great witness with the community. So please keep our bookstore in your prayers. And please pray that God would continue to bring people in to look around and ask questions. And it's just really exciting to see how the Lord is using our little bookstore. And it's not so little, and it's growing. And we give all the glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And thank you very, very much for supporting the bookstore.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you where to Jesus. For the mirrors that struggling just to hang on, they've lost all of their faith and love, and they've done all they can to make it right again. Still it's not enough. Children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. There is for the weary, and love for the broken.
Just a couple of minutes ago, Jan Lacker posted this in the chat room. She said, "Will my severely disabled son be raptured too? Can't walk, can't talk, extremely mentally handicapped. Will the Lord take him in the rapture?" That's a really good question. Romans chapter 5 has the answer. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law." The Bible says, according to the Apostle Paul, that if you do not know that there is a holy, righteous God that your sins have separated you from, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 5:13 that sin is not imputed when there is no law. And if you have somebody who is severely mentally handicapped, that person is not able to discern a righteous and holy God. What will happen to that person in the rapture? They're going to go up just like me and you. The Bible says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And you and I serve a God that does the right thing 100% of the time. And I get asked that question on a fairly regular basis. What happens to my child who has this severe handicap and they could never, ever make a profession of faith? Well, the Bible has already foreseen that and has already taken care of that. And I am just so glad that we serve a God that thinks like that. Amen. Amen.
Of love. This is my story. His love is ever true. I love to tell how He lifted me and what His grace can do for you. Saved by His power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on His mighty arm. I know sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved.
Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, and we lift up our prayers and praise and petitions. Tonight we pray for Laura Campoy, involved in a motor scooter accident and left her with many broken bones and months of rehab. We pray for Jeanette, who is still looking for a full-time caregiver. We're praying for Anetta, who needs a complete healing from a stroke. She's getting a little bit better every day. Keith Rourke is in a deep depression due to the passing of his father. Kevin Thompson is asking for wisdom and guidance for a move that he wants to make with his wife to live in a new location. Dana Bragdon has some medical issues that she would like prayer for. Clayton Perry has been battling cancer for the last 2.5 years. Marie Berger, and she has an unspoken prayer request. Jackie is asking prayers for John with stage 4 cancer. Kyle Gorzel is asking for prayers for Preston Mathias. And Marie Comfort would like prayers for her friend Tammy. Tammy's mother just passed away from a rare form of breast cancer. And now her daughter, has been diagnosed with the same thing. Let's see what other prayer requests that we have. Gail Comfort would like prayers for her husband, Rick, who has been diagnosed with COVID and is very, very sick. Kentucky Jeffrey says more flooding coming in from eastern Kentucky. And he is asking for prayers for their situation, the very bad floods over in Kentucky. Natalie says, praise report, my 82-year-old Uncle Frank is COVID and pneumonia free. Thanks for praying a few weeks ago. Going to rehab to learn to walk again. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Little Toe says, prayer request for my health. I appreciate that. Thank you. Daniel Leo, my mom Jeannie's live-in atheist boyfriend of 20 years now needs prayer. And my mom has prayer needs. She believes fornication is okay at 72 years old. Prayers, please. Amen. Let's see what else we got. Janet says, The bookstore looks wonderful. Thank you for this ministry. It's one of the few things I can really count on anymore. Please pray for me as I am under many heavy burdens. My son was neglected and abused at a well-known megachurch camp last month. I am thoughtfully planning my steps to expose this evil and hold people accountable. It is a sad day when the church is the abuser. Amen. And you might want to send me an email about that, and I'll be happy to hear about the situation. And if it's something that would be appropriate to write about for Now the End Begins, I'll be happy to have that talk with you as well. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers, for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Lord, we ask you to heal for the people who are sick, people battling COVID and cancer and pneumonia and strokes and accidents. Lord, people need wisdom and guidance to know where to move, what job to have, what mate to have. Lord, you already know all those answers. Please work and move in those situations. For the people with unspoken prayer requests, Lord, you know the heart, you know the need, and we ask you to work and move as only you can. And Lord, for everything that we deal with on a daily basis, we come before you and ask you to take it off of our backs and put it onto yourself. And we thank you, God, for your son. We thank you for your wonderful provision of salvation. And we ask you to wash us clean yet again. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Terry Bryant says, I need healing as well. And we will be praying for you, Terry. Absolutely, absolutely. Natalie is asking, could I add some spiritual abuse books to the bookstore? Sure, I could do that, and we'll certainly look into that. One of the books that we do have that is an excellent, excellent book, it's by Charles Spurgeon on spiritual warfare. And that's really where you want to focus. You want to focus on what the answer is. You don't want to dwell on what the problem is. And I'm just give me a second here, and I'll put a link into the chat room for this book by Charles Spurgeon called Spurgeon on Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. And I think that's a really important book to have. And we have been trying to add a whole bunch of new titles that will really help out people. And this book is one of them. Charles Spurgeon was a great prayer warrior. He was a great man of God. And the Lord used him in a mighty, mighty way, along with D.L. Moody and Robert Sheffy and Peter Cartwright and George Whitfield. And so I'm going to put that link into the chat room. Spurgeon on Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. And there's certainly a lot of that going on in our day. All right, let's get started with our Bible study tonight. Oh, wait, I want to read a letter that I got today. Just give me a second to finish this post in the... Here we are. And there's the link for Spurgeon and Spiritual Warfare. I got a letter today from Mary Smith in Indiana, and a very nice card that she sent, and she said, to the Now the End Begins family, and Mary writes, tears are in my eyes for the teachings I've listened to. You have taught and opened my eyes to the Almighty Jesus Christ like no other. Please thank God for my sister Joanne. She's been working on me forever. And Mary goes on to say that God has truly blessed me with a good daycare business for 35 years. I got to adopt my niece when she needed a new mom because of that blessing. Now I can help and be a part of NTEB's Bible program. And please use this gift to bless others as you have blessed me. And a very, very nice letter from Mary, who says that she's learning so much in our Bible studies. And I really do like to hear that. Cheryl wrote, Dear Jeff, I've been following your programs and website since January. And she says, I've become very inspired, very inspired. I can hear your excitement in your voice. I love listening to your programs. I am happy to be a part of the NTEB family. And our family grows exponentially on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. And God is just bringing in, he's just bringing in so many people and opportunities and situations. And a little later in the program, I'm going to talk about what the Free Bible Program is up to. And it's just, it's going to knock your eyes out what the Lord is doing here. And he's really, really using us to a very, very high degree. All right, let's get started with our Bible study this evening. And if you have any questions, try to keep them towards the end of the Bible study. Have a lot of ground to cover tonight. Turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. And I want to show you what's going to be taking place during the time of Jacob's trouble, during the time of the Great Tribulation. A lot of people get confused about that. The time of Jacob's trouble is a seven-year time period. The time of the Great Tribulation is a three-and-one-half-year time period. Before you go to Revelation 9, go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. A lot of people get confused when you talk about the time of Jacob's trouble and the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is the last 3.5 years of the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. So let's start. Let's set the table as we like to do in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12, we're going to start reading verses 1 through 4. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, the Jewish people. And there shall be a time of trouble, Matthew 24, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We are living in that time period right now. The book is still closed. Knowledge is being increased. And people are running to and fro. That's traveling. That's airplane travel. You can get to Europe from New York City in under 7 hours. But guess what? You can get on your computer and you can go to Europe instantaneously. And so we are living right now in the time of Daniel 12:4. And then verse 5 says, Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, 1 year, times, 2 years, and in half, 6 months, 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be accomplished. And I heard, and I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed till the time of the end. Now turn to Revelation chapter 5, and I'm going to show you that same book being opened. We are living in a time where Daniel's seven-sealed book is still closed. People are running to and fro, and knowledge is being increased. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And we are living in the time period right before Revelation chapter 5. Turn one chapter back to Revelation chapter 4, and let's read verses 1 and 2. Revelation 4, 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So that's showing you on the timeline the rapture of the church. It takes place at the end of the church age, but before the opening of Daniel's seven-sealed book. And Daniel's book is specifically about the tribulation, which is a 3.5-year time period. And part of this time of great tribulation, turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Part of this time period, you are going to see something called the one world religion. Now, that phrase is not in the Bible, but a global religion is absolutely mentioned repeatedly. Revelation 13, verses 1 through 4. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. This has its match in Daniel chapter 7. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The dragon is Satan, the devil. The beast is Antichrist. Verse 3 says, And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. There's going to be an assassination attempt. And they worshiped the dragon, that's the devil, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So these verses are talking about the devil being put into what appears to be a human being. And that is Antichrist. It's going to be Judas Iscariot coming up out of his own place. And verse 5 of Revelation 13 says, And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He's already continued 42 months from the first half of the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. Now he has power to continue for the second half of the time of Jacob's trouble. Revelation 13:5, this is not the start, this is the continuation. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So turn to Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah 14. We see in Revelation 13 that the beast, who is powered by the dragon, which is the devil, he opens his mouth in blasphemy. And he comes with a religion. He comes as a Messiah. The Bible says that Lucifer was the anointed cherub in Ezekiel chapter 28. And in Isaiah chapter 14, talking about Lucifer, starting in verse 13, Isaiah 14, 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What is Lucifer after? Go back to Revelation 13. He is after worship. He wants to be worshipped like God. So when God finally gives the devil, you've heard the expression, give the devil his due. Well, God gives the devil his due, and he lets him have it for 7 years. The first half of that 7-year period is a time of peace, safety, and prosperity. It's all fake. But for 3.5 years, this world will have never been more prosperous, more safe, the beast is going to make everybody think he's Jesus Christ. And then in the second 3.5 years, what Jesus calls great tribulation, he is going to reveal who he is. And he is going to roam this earth as a 7-headed red dragon. Now, I know that sounds fantastical. That sounds like a comic book. That sounds something like a Marvel movie, doesn't it? Or X-Men. Or Transformers. Doesn't it sound like one of those movies? Why do you think we have all these movies? Remember our Bible study from 2 weeks ago? Where we talked about the gods coming down? Well, that's exactly what you're going to see during the Great Tribulation. It's going to be like living in a comic book. And what Lucifer is after, what Satan wants, is he wants to be worshipped. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. And I will show you what worship during this time period looks like. Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. In Revelation 9:21, that word for sorcery is pharmakia. And so one of the things, if we're as close to the end times as we think that we are, then you're going to see a whole lot of pharmakia. And do I really have to point out the examples of pharmakia over the last 876 days of 15 days to flatten the curve? Do I really need to point that out? I don't think I do. But suffice to say, Suffice to say that we are living in a time where pharmakia is rising. That is sorcery connected with medicine. Sorcery connected with medicine. I was reading an article just the other day where the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, and let me see if I can pull up the article real quick. He said, here it is, from Sports Illustrated from yesterday. Aaron Rodgers says use of psychedelic drug helped him to earn his recent Most Valuable Player award. And it says here, former Cal quarterback Aaron Rodgers grew up in Chico, California, and plays pro football in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But it seems that some of Berkeley's experimental drug culture may have rubbed off on him based on his recent revelation. Rodgers revealed in a podcast this week that his experience with the plant-based psychedelic drug ayahuasca in Peru helped him to have his best NFL seasons, which resulted in Most Valuable Player awards for 2020 and 2021. Now, can you imagine teenage kids listening to Aaron Rodgers, one of the most successful quarterbacks of all time, who is giving credit to his recent successes by having a psychedelic trip in the rainforest in Peru? And what you see happening right now is the normalization of mind-altering drugs. A couple of weeks ago, I was driving past early on a Sunday morning in downtown St. Augustine, and I was going to get a bagel. And I drove past one of the cannabis clinics. We have five of these clinics that have opened up here in St. Augustine. And there were people, about 10 or 12 people, waiting online outside the door of one of these cannabis clinics at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. And you and I, if you thought that the 60s drug culture was bad, just wait for the current drug culture that's coming right now. But instead of people saying how bad it is, you have people, famous people, sport heroes, telling you how good it is. And when you see stuff like that, now go back to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders nor of their pharmakia. And this is what you see happening. And we are so close to the rapture of the church that society is already craving pharmakia. And pharmakia, according to the Bible, is sorcery, witchcraft, in the form of medicine or drugs. Now, if you're really sick or you're really hurt and they give you morphine, that's not necessarily pharmakia. But if you're a quarterback and you're taking a mind-altering hallucinogenic because you want to improve your abilities as a quarterback, that is absolutely pharmakia. All that stuff that they've been injecting into people's arms from the government over the last 18 months, that is absolutely pharmakia. There's no question about it. Well, we have to take our first break of the night. And I told you, tonight's Bible study is going to be Bible study mixed with podcast. just for the simple reason that the things that we talk about are starting to happen. And we're going to make that case tonight. We'll be right back after this.
Hallelujah, we worship you, O God. You're worthy of all the praise. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, Lord God. And even as these hymns fan the flames of revival past, may the flames of revival hit this place tonight. Be deep in our hearts tonight, we pray. Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
Back for hour two of tonight's Bible study on the One World Religion. And I just want to give you an update on the free Bible program. Ever since that we connected with the St. Lucie Jail down in Fort Pierce, Florida, where we were able to send them 1,644 King James Bibles, we have gotten an explosion in people from around the world who are requesting King James Bibles. And we are sending them to places like Africa, Uganda, the Philippines, Sri Lanka, Ireland. We are sending them locally. We are sending them globally. And we got requests from three more jails in the state of Texas just in the last 7 or 8 days. We got a massive request for 1,100 Spanish King James Bibles for the South Texas ICE Processing Center. And so the Lord has absolutely opened up the door on a level that I could, honestly, I've never imagined it at this level. I never thought we would have the resources. I never thought we would have the people. I never thought we would have the Bibles. And God has given us the people. He's given us the Bibles. He's giving us the resources. So please continue to pray for our free Bible program. And let me just read a couple of the places where we're sending Bibles to. We're sending Bibles to Faith Baptist Church in Blairsville, Georgia. And they have an outreach that they work with. Tennessee to the CPR missions to the homeless. We're sending them to the Gospel Bus Ministry in Ireland. We're sending them to a prison ministry in Marion, Iowa. We're sending them to the Philippines. We're sending them to a lot of places in the Philippines. We're sending them all over the country. We're sending them all over the world. So please continue to pray for our free Bible and gospel tract program. And please continue to pray for... I'm being asked in the chat room, am I ready to send 1 million Bibles this year? Well, yes, I'm ready. I'm absolutely ready. And we've already passed 30,000. Remember, do you remember? Wait a second. I think we have to pull off for a moment here. Do you remember back in January and February, somebody had jokingly said, how about we send 30,000 out this year? And I'm like, I don't see how we could ever get to 30,000. Well, this month, we just passed 30,000. At this rate, we are easily on track for 50,000, maybe 60 or 70,000. But yes, at the start of this year, I jokingly said, we'll send out 30. Well, here we are. It's August 10th. And we have passed 30,000 Bibles. So, amen is all I can say. And the war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. Let's keep it up. Let's keep it up. Let's get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. April says, can everybody please pray for me? I have a job interview with the sheriff department on the 29th of this month. I also have a physical fitness test to do on the 16th of September. Please pray that my numbers are high enough to be selected. Please pray for April. And Karen is asking prayers for her cousin Michelle, who was in remission for breast cancer, and that cancer has come back. So please pray for Michelle, who's battling breast cancer. And please pray for April, who has a job interview with the sheriff's department on the 29th of this month. Amen. We will be praying for both of those prayer requests. All right, let's get back to the Bible study. Revelation chapter 9 is where we left off right before the break. And the rest of the men, verse 20. Revelation 9:20, let's post that again in the chat room. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and of wood and stone, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. So, Revelation 9 shows you that one of the main components of the one world religion is going to be the worship of idols. Now, let's just stop there for just a moment. I want to remind you of a number of things that Pope Francis has accomplished in his 9-year period of being the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church and the King of Vatican City. Revelation 9 says that there is going to be idol worship. Well, when you look at the Roman Catholic Church, what do? They are idol worshipers, is what they are. They worship dead people. They worship pieces of dead bodies. The Roman Catholic Church calls them relics. And Pope Francis has done all sorts of things with Buddhists and atheists and transgenders. I'm just trying to pull up a good story here. And when you look at everything that the Pope is involved with, it is absolute idol worship. And when Pope Francis talks about saving the earth, that is Gaia worship, is what that is. That's New Age paganism. And so when we read in Revelation chapter 9 that idol worship is going to come back, that's exactly what you're going to see taking place in the one world religion. You're going to see idol worship. And that's what all this fuss about the environment is really leading you to. That's what all this talk about climate change is trying to accomplish. It is trying to get you to worship the earth. When the Pope and the Roman Catholic priest have a mass, they worship the Eucharist. They worship the elements. They pray to dead people. They light candles and pray to saints. All of that is idol worship. And that's exactly what Revelation chapter 9 is talking about. It is talking about idol worship during the Great Tribulation. And then when you go to Revelation chapter 13, you see very, very clearly that the Antichrist wants to be worshipped. Now turn to Revelation chapter 14 for a moment, and let's read verses 9 through 11. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. I'll show you another aspect of the one world religion. Verse 9 says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." So, when we talk about the one world religion that's going to be taking place during the time of Jacob's trouble, it is the devil in the form of Antichrist finally getting the worship that he has wanted for the last 6,000 years. And God is going to allow him to have it for a 7-year time period. I wrote an article a number of years ago with the headline that says, if Satan is as great as he thinks he is, then why does he have to pretend to be Jesus Christ in the time of Jacob's trouble. I'll read that headline again. If Satan is as great as he thinks he is, then why does he have to pretend to be Jesus Christ during the time of Jacob's trouble? And the reason why he has to pretend to be Jesus Christ is that's the only way that he's going to be able to receive worship. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And during the time of Jacob, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. During the time of Jacob's trouble, the devil is finally going to get the worship that he has wanted the entire time. And he's going to have to pretend to be Jesus Christ to do it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's read verses 8 through 12. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Turn to Revelation chapter 6, and I'll show you what that strong delusion is. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The strong delusion is that Antichrist is Jesus Christ. That is the strong delusion. The wrath of God does not begin with the tribulation. And I know that goes against what most of you have been taught, even in Baptist churches. But the wrath of God absolutely does not begin with the great tribulation. That's when it becomes obvious. That's when the Jews have to flee to the Red Rock city of Sela Petra. But the wrath of God begins with the strong delusion. And that strong delusion that Antichrist is Jesus Christ, that takes place immediately after the rapture of the church. And for 3.5 years, all the world is going to wonder after the beast, and they are going to worship him, and he is going to set up idols of gold and silver and brass and stone. He is going to introduce pharmakia into the worship service. There is going to be sexual perversion in the worship service. And all these things are going to be characteristics of the one world religion. The wrath of God begins with the strong delusion, and the strong delusion takes place immediately after the rapture with the revelation of the man of sin, with the revealing of the man of sin. So there's no such thing as a mid-wrath rapture for the church. The church doesn't see any part of the wrath of God. We are taken out of here ahead of time. April is saying a lot of churches already have that now. They are supporting the LGBTQIA+. And that reminds me of an article that we did just the other day about Grace Church in New York City. And they had a drag queen by the name of Britta Filter come prancing down the aisle in this beautiful church with stained glass windows. And this drag queen comes prancing down. Like, what would you do if you saw a drag queen dancing down the aisle of your church this Sunday morning? Hopefully, you would have the proper reaction. The reaction that these people had is overwhelming and thunderous applause. That's the reaction that they had. And this is something that you would only ever have seen in a chick track. And if you would have seen it in a chick track, you would have said that that was way too over the top and it was too crazy. And yet it's happening in real life right now. So when we talk about the one world religion that's going to be taking place during the time of Jacob's trouble, a 7-year time period, that religion is being prepared right here and right now. I want to talk a little bit about that article that we did about the Abrahamic family house. If you remember back in 2019, Pope Francis went to Abu Dhabi and he met with Sheikh Al-Tayeb and they signed something called the Declaration of Human Fraternity. And a man by the name of Mohammed bin Zayed was there to witness it. And when that was over, Pope Francis and Mohammed bin Zayed created something called the Committee for Higher Fraternity. And this Abrahamic family house that is about to open, which is going to have a Jewish synagogue, an Islamic mosque, and it's going to have a Catholic church. I call that the unholy trinity. Turn to Isaiah chapter 10. Turn to the book of Isaiah in your Old Testament, chapter 10. The Abrahamic family house has three components: a mosque, a synagogue, and a Catholic church. You have the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet. You have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you look, God likes to do things in threes. So the first part of this unholy trinity, we see that whoever the Antichrist is, he has to have Jewish blood and he has to have Muslim blood or Arab blood. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. This is Antichrist. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. In your King James Bible, you see somebody called the Assyrian with a capital A. This is a very particular person. The word Assyrian with a capital A appears exactly 13 times in your King James Bible. And I want to read a couple of those verses to you. I just read the first one, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. How about this one? Isaiah 52:4. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Micah 5:5. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then we shall raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Micah 5:6. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our borders. So if you're talking about a one world religion, it's going to have to incorporate apostate Judaism. It's going to have to incorporate Islam, and it's going to have to incorporate Roman Catholicism. Turn to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Let's start reading verses 3 through 6. Revelation 17, 3 through 6. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Who has 7 heads and 10 horns? The dragon. A woman is sitting on the dragon. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Revelation 17 shows you the Roman Catholic Church. Revelation 18, turn there for a moment. Revelation 18 shows you the Vatican. Revelation 18:3 says, For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And what that is talking about is all the people who go to the Vatican to curry favor with the Pope, because they want to have his blessing. They want to have his approval, because there's a lot of money to be made by fornicating spiritually with the head of the Vatican State. And so when you look at Revelation 17 and Revelation 18, it is showing you two sides of the same coin. And there is one man who is the leader over both those sides. The Roman Catholic Pope is the leader of the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Pope is also the king over the Vatican City State. And so when you see Pope Francis going to the United Nations, he is really not representing the Catholic Church. He is representing the Vatican as king of the Vatican. And it used to puzzle me for a long time. When I read Revelation 17, I could clearly see a church. But when I read Revelation 18, I saw a king. I saw kingdoms. Until it dawned on me the Holy Spirit showed me that one man is the leader over both those things. And so when you talk about Rome, it is not simply the church and it is not simply the state. The Vatican is the city-state and the church is the spiritual component. And one man is the leader over both those things. And with that, we have to take our last break for the night. If you have questions about what we've been talking about, please post your questions in the chat room over the break. And when we get back, I will do my best to answer those questions.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, song my flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to
back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study. In the last half hour, we were looking at how a man called the Assyrian Antichrist, and he represents Assyria, that is a predominantly Arab region. And in our day, it is Muslim, predominantly Muslim. The second component is you have to have the Jewish component. Turn to Daniel chapter 11. Turn to Daniel chapter 11. And this is why you see, we call it Chrislam. And Chrislam is the combining of Islam with apostate Judaism with Roman Catholicism. That's what Chrislam is. So I've shown you from the Bible, I've shown you the Arab or the Muslim component. Now let's take a look at the Jewish component. Let's see. Daniel 11, verse 24. Daniel 11:24. Talking about Antichrist, he shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. Talking about his fathers and his fathers' fathers. This man is part Assyrian. This man is part Jewish. And of course, Revelation 17 and 18 shows you the Roman Catholic and Vatican State. So this is why you have the Abrahamic family house. This is why you have the Abraham Accords. This is why everywhere that you turn, you are seeing Catholicism, Islam, and Judaism together. And I want you just to make a little note in the back of your head as you begin to look at these news stories and all the stuff happening. Every time that you see anything related to Islam, Judaism, and Roman Catholicism together, I want you to make a note of it. I want you to write it down. Let me see. I'm looking for an article here. I don't know if I can find it right away. Sometimes I can. Yes, I did. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Last year, we told you about this place in Germany called the House of One. And what do you think the House of One is building? Well, they're building a worship center that is going to combine Islam, Judaism, with Roman Catholicism. And that is not connected to the Abrahamic family house. Yet it is happening at the same time. And so these things are taking place in multiple countries right now. And let me just read a little bit to you about, we brought you this story on March 1st of 2021. Germany to begin construction on Chrislam House of One for the One World Religion worship services that will also include atheists. Prophecy watchers are buzzing as the news of the House of One Chrislam Worship Center being built in Berlin was reported by the Jerusalem Post. Chrislam is the perfect end times hybrid for a coming time when hybrid humans and animals will populate this earth. It combines the counterfeit Christianity of Roman Catholicism, Islam, and apostate Judaism, as well as incorporating Buddhists, atheists, and the entire pantheon of the New Age. And this is why Pope Francis has been doing so much work to bring in Muslims and Buddhists and atheists into the Roman Catholic Church. He doesn't preach the Bible when he goes over to Thailand. He joins them. He joins them in their religious services. Here's an article called Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue Praises Buddha and Calls for a Universal Solidarity Between the Roman Catholic Church and All Religions. And I wrote about that on May 30th of 2021. Now, for those of you who hear me talk about all these articles, you can just, and you're not in the chat room, you can just go to nowtheendbegins.com and just go to the search box and type in Pope Francis Buddhism, and these articles will pop right up for you. But we told you last year how Pope Francis has been working with Buddhists and atheists and Muslims. And he is suddenly finding a way to incorporate all of that into the Roman Catholic Church. How is that even possible? Well, would it surprise you? I don't think it would, but it's a rhetorical question. Would it surprise you that Pope Francis went to Thailand and he signed a covenant with the Buddhist leader in Thailand? Would that surprise you? Doesn't surprise me. I expect it. But back on November 29th of 2019, before the pandemic, Pope Francis went to Thailand and he signed a covenant of Declaration on Human Fraternity with His Holiness Samdech Pra Maga Muniwag. And I can't even pronounce the place that they did it, but they went to a temple in Bangkok during a six-day Asian trip to Thailand and Japan. So, Pope Francis goes to Abu Dhabi, and he enters into a covenant with Sheikh Ahmed Al-Tayyib, the ruling leader in Sunni Islam. And then he goes to Thailand, where he meets the ruling Buddhist leader there, and presents him a copy of his Declaration of Human Fraternity. And Pope Francis has been traveling the world for the last 9 years, laying the groundwork, doing the networking, making the connections. And all these, if Pope Francis was to die tomorrow, and I am not wishing that on him, but if Pope Francis was to die tomorrow, everything is already in place. And these things have been happening furiously for the last 9 years. And of course, if you're a longtime reader of Now the End Begins, you know that we've been telling you all about it. And we do thousands of articles on the topic of the one world religion, the end times, Chrislam, the Pope. Speaking of the Pope and Emmanuel Macron, they're good buddies. They're really, really, really good buddies. During the pandemic, Macron had a 40-minute phone call with Pope Francis, where Pope Francis gave Macron his blessing to be the leader that the world needs to have. And just a couple of months ago, Macron was reelected for another 5-year period. He's not going anywhere. And so we talk about all these things. We talk about the one world religion. The one world religion has to have, biblically speaking, it has to have a Islamic component. And that is represented in the Assyrian. It has to have an apostate Judaism component. And we know that during the time of Jacob's trouble, based on Revelation chapter 9, Israel is going to return to idol worship. You know how you read in the Old Testament where it talks about the groves and the high places and Baal and Molech? All those things are coming back. After the rapture, you are going to see statues and temples erected to Baal and to Molech. And they're going to bring back the groves and the high places. And Israel is going to fall into apostasy like you can't even imagine. But pray for the Jewish people. Pray for the nation of Israel. Genesis 12:3 is still in effect. Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So pray for the Jewish people. Pray for the nation of Israel. Don't be afraid to witness to them. We have a lot of good materials in our bookstore at BibleBeliever.com on how to witness to Jewish people and written by Jewish people. So check out what's new at the bookstore, BibleBeliever.com. All the books that we stock there are all designed to grow your faith in the Bible, to teach you more about the Bible, and to teach you more about the time period that you are living in. Genesis 49 says this. Genesis 49, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Look at, let's see here. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8, talking about the two witnesses. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, that's Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Israel, during the time of the great tribulation, is going to fall into very egregious idol worship. And if you've been watching what's been happening, we have been watching Israel for the last 13 years. And with each passing year, they get farther and farther away from God. One generation after the Holocaust, and they're performing third trimester abortions in Tel Aviv. I can't even wrap my head around how that could happen. But pray for the Jewish people. Pray for the nation of Israel. They are still God's chosen people, and God will redeem them during this time period. But before that happens, they are going to fall into very severe apostasy. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Let's take a look at verse 4. This is what happens to people in the time of Jacob's trouble who don't take the mark of the beast. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, let me change gears here for a second, and let me talk about something that we're going to talk about on the podcast on Friday. And this is something that's been on my heart and mind for a while. What you're going to see in the next couple of months here in America, you're going to see a lot of things that on the surface might appear to be true, but they're not going to be true. And one of the things that is happening right now is a false equivalency between being an American patriot and a supporter of Donald Trump and being a Christian are somehow being all merged together. And if you're a Bible believer, that is a very dangerous place to be. And as we get farther down the line, you are going to see the boundaries between being a patriot and being a Christian. Those boundaries are going to disappear, and one is going to get lumped in with the other. And I'm going to talk about that on the podcast this Friday, but I would highly advise that as we get close to the election, vote for whoever you want to vote for. This is not about voting. This is about keeping your eye on the prize. And the prize is not making America great again. If you're a Bible believer, that is not your prize. Philippians chapter 3, this is the prize. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the prize. The prize is the high calling of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we get closer to the midterm elections and the presidential elections in 2024, if we're here that long, I highly advise you to stay away. Don't get entangled in that. Use this time to witness to people, to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world, but do not merge it with Make America Great Again. Do not combine it with a false sense of patriotism. God is going to destroy America and all the other nations that come against Israel. Do not be one of those people that wants to be a Christian nationalist patriot. Don't combine the two. It is very bad and it is very dangerous. The prize is not Make America Great Again. The prize is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to be talking about that on the podcast this Friday, if my voice will hold up. And speaking of that, my voice is getting very ragged and my throat kind of hurts. So I'm going to draw this Bible study to a close. I hope it was a blessing for you tonight. I hope that you started to see a little bit about what the makeup of the one world religion is. Islam, Roman Catholicism, apostate Judaism, and they're all coming together under one roof. And that roof is the Abrahamic family house in Abu Dhabi. That roof is the Abraham Accords. And this is the end times that we find ourselves in. April says she has a question. Ask away. I will be happy to answer that question for you. And as I wait for that question to pop up, the one world religion, Islam, Judaism, Roman Catholicism. And Mike 1611 says, visit the bookstore. Yes, please go to BibleBeliever.com. Every book that you buy helps to support the Free Bible and Gospel Tract program. Please pray for this ministry. And if the Lord has given you the resources, please donate to our Free Bible and Gospel Tract program. That's the only way we can do it. God's people have to supply the work, the resources to do God's work. I don't see the question in the chat room. I'll wait just another minute. April says, I keep hearing about the Tree of Life. I don't understand what the significance is. One pastor says he wants to eat of it and that it is eaten of by works. Can you explain that to me? Yes, turn to Revelation 22. Marky Mark says, is that wicked of 2 Thessalonians, the Antichrist, or Satan? It is Antichrist, according to the passage. So, in Revelation 22, we see the Tree of Life from the Garden of Eden. It has made a reappearance. And let me see if I can find the verse that I'm looking for. Here it is. Revelation 22, 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river, was there the Tree of Life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations. Now, you and I do not need to eat from the Tree of Life. Because when you got saved, God gave you eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, if you're born again in the church age, you do not need to eat from a tree of life because you have eternal life in you. And I can talk more about this on the podcast on Friday. I hope that answered your question. And with that, it is time to say goodnight. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday, noon Eastern time, for another edition of our Prophecy News podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Sweet day.
Hear my prayer.